With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from Car Subaru Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. Dow stock market down. So we're officially in bear market territory now. And as I told you earlier, even before the day began,
the markets are set to open after an absolutely brutal week on Wall Street. Stocks now down $7.6 trillion since President Biden took office.
$7.6 trillion. And a lot of Americans have money in IRAs and 401ks, and they're seeing that money start to vaporize. Meanwhile, we have the highest inflation in 40 years, and this economy is on the president and Congress and spending all this money. But here's, man, you want to talk about some more bad news on this front. We just found out with Halloween getting close. Guess what's happened to the price of pumpkins?
The price of this year's pumpkins squashing last year's. As the holiday gets hit by the scariest villain around, inflation.
All right, pumpkin, where are you?
In 2021, the price of a large pumpkin set Halloween lovers back around $5. But this year, the cost of that jack-o'-lantern jacked up to $5.68. It comes as farm owners face rising costs all across the country, from Texas to Maryland.
The price of fuel has affected everything. The fertilizer for his pumpkins has been, you know, unbelievable. It seems that everything has gone up. And of course, parents see that in the grocery store. So it's affected us as well.
Shameful. Just absolutely shameful what Joe Biden has done to pumpkin prices. I think we can all agree. There is some good news, though. The CFO at Costco was asked if this historic 40-year high inflation is going to affect the $1.50 hot dog and soda combo deal. And the answer is no. Richard Galanti is the CFO for Costco, and he says that the profit margins the company is seeing in the gas and travel sectors make up for the losses at the food court. And so they hope, they plan on keeping a hot dog and soda combo at $1.50 forever, he says. Forevermore. And that's a good deal. But, you know, the problem with that, Nicole, I don't eat many hot dogs anymore.
Well, if you're going to eat a hot dog, that is the best one to
Costco's
eat.
Costco's fantastic.
I mean, you taste it for hours after. But, yeah.
No, it's good.
But it's delicious. I think that was the thing for their chicken, too, is that they said they wouldn't. I think they've raised it a little bit, but they would never raise it to profit.
It's still $4.99. Yeah. Rotisserie chicken is still $4.99.
And they take a loss, but I think that they've said before they take a loss on that, but it's outweighed by everything they don't take a loss on.
Well, a whole chicken uncooked at the grocery store is like $8 or $9.
Right.
So, yeah, rotisserie chicken for $4.99, that's a good deal. Oh, I didn't tell you. I've got a little Costco dilemma. I was just talking to my wife about this last night. So, I think this was when you were working on the show, when I made a gigantic life decision, because it was always a big festive, usually a Saturday, when our girls were younger, when they were living at home, when they were in junior high and high school. We would, and we had, like most families in the 90s, we had a minivan. And there'd be a Saturday, and usually either Thanksgiving weekend or the weekend after. And we had this one tree farm that we really liked out near Duval. And so we'd go out there, and we'd cut down our tree, and we'd tie it to the top of the van and bring it home. And then, you know, the girls got older enough to college, just to humor me, they went a couple more times to the tree farm. But you could tell it wasn't the, you know, childlike enthusiasm. And then, I don't know how many years ago, but I got a fake tree.
Oh, I know.
And, but I decided if I'm going to get a fake tree, I'm going to get the best fake tree there is. And it cost, it was a lot of money. It was It was four. It was well over four figures. And now it's just a hassle to put it together. And the pre-lit, it had the colored bulbs and the white bulbs, and it had a remote where you could light just the colored or just the white or both. And I just loved it. But now it's got all these cords you got to plug together and section after section and cord after cord. And I couldn't get the bulbs working last year. And I went to Ace and I bought strings of lights to wrap around this expensive pre-lit Christmas tree. And I'm going to get rid of it. I made that decision yesterday.
Oh, wow. I mean, is it toast? Is it not working? Or doesn't it work as well?
If somebody wanted to take the time to figure out what plugs into where, but seriously, it comes in like four or five sections, and each section has four sets of plugs near the trunk, and it's just a hassle.
Yeah, they do make them a little easier now, I think.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. So here's the question. Because the company I bought it from, it's this catalog Christmas tree company, and now the prices are really expensive. But I don't want to get one that looks fake. And I at Costco, they had the Christmas trees up when I was at Costco about 3 weeks ago. But those look really fake, but you could save a fortune by just doing that. I don't know.
What I suggest is getting the real ones from Costco. Only certain Costcos carry them, but they are beautiful. They are the best trees. That's what we do every year for my parents' house. And I think that Everett Costco and sometimes Linwood, but Everett Costco always has them. Sometimes Linwood, sometimes the others you have to call.
I can't believe that I fell in love with
them. They're
like
$50
tree.
And they're beautiful.
I'm disappointed just in do myself. It. Yeah, but then
a real one.
But the pre-lit, when it was new, it was beautiful. And you couldn't tell. You couldn't tell at all. By looking at it, it was just, it's fantastic. Okay, I got to get to this guest here. We'll continue this conversation.
I'm sure we will.
With that as mere prelude, let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Well, as we talked about in The Big Lead, massive tax hikes are being proposed at a time when families can least afford that. We have 40-year record inflation. Our nation is headed for some real calamitous times economically, if you believe the experts on that. Meanwhile, Seattle, King County, Washington State, massive tax increases. Last week, it was for King County Parks and for Seattle Crime and for the Seattle Aquarium. And yesterday, Dow Constein says it's for King County Mental Health. A lot of this would add to your property taxes, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars a year. Paul Guppy is with the Washington Policy Center. He's been tracking this extensively, and he joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, Paul, it's really good to talk to you again.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Most states are preparing pretty significant tax cuts right now for their citizens, correct?
Yeah, so we did a comparative study of all the states, and we found that virtually every state in the country except one, and you can guess which one that is.
Let me think about it. Okay, I have my guess, but I won't give it away right now.
That's right. It's us. Washington State is the only state that has not provided at least some form of tax relief to its citizens during times of a hard economy and high inflation. And what's surprising is that also includes 13 trifecta Democrat states. In other words, blue states where the Democrats control the entire legislature and the governorship. Every single one of them has provided some form of tax relief. These are places like New York, California, Connecticut, Hawaii. New Jersey just provided $900 million in property tax cuts to its citizens. So these are very left-leaning states who just recognize the reality of what people are struggling with every day and they have budget surpluses like Washington does. But those leaders have decided to provide tax relief to citizens, and Washington State is going in the other direction.
Well, these are tough times. With inflation where it is, everybody's losing real wages. The average wage growth has been about 5%. We've got 8.5% inflation. So everybody's losing money right now. We've had trillions of dollars disappear from 401ks and IRAs. So retirements are vaporizing with the market down 20%. And here we have Jay Inslee and Dow Constein and Bruce Harrell, and they want more and more and more. And seriously, we're the only state in the country that's doing this?
Yeah, and what that indicates is that the leaders that you just mentioned are, it's clear that they're not listening to people. So they it's like they don't care. They're going to get their cut for their budgets, and in fact, that's going to increase. It increases their power. One breakthrough for me was when I realized that people in the public sector can be just as greedy as people in the private sector. And public leaders, they like their budgets to get bigger. Right.
Yeah, and maybe more so because with that money comes power. And that's what they just crave more than anything is power.
Right. And there are political reasons for it. The money is spent in ways that supports their base and things like that. But even from a civics point of view, they don't provide the public services. King County, which has a $12 billion budget, has just admitted failure that they can't deal with mental health services or help people who are living on the street. So they want yet another tax to try to accomplish something that they're not able to do today. So there's a practical aspect to it in that the public services that are continually promised that a problem like homelessness is going to be solved never gets solved, and yet our tax burden continues to go up.
Didn't Jay Inslee include $12 billion in his most recent budget for social and health services? I mean, that was supposed to address the mental health crisis, and Jay Inslee helped create the mental health crisis when Western State was decertified under his watch.
Exactly. So that shows the mismatch between resources, which the public is providing in the form of higher taxes, property taxes, sales taxes that go into the state budget. But then that doesn't result in actual improvement in public conditions for people across the state. And you're citing a perfect example of that. All the news coverage today about a property tax increase in King County carries the assumption that this new money is actually going to be effective in solving the problem. And when you look at the resources King County or the state has today, billions of dollars. The state government is $60 billion. and yet they're not showing progress on the problems we have now. Instead, they're making a proposal to vote for a new levy next spring, which will bring in money in about a year, and then they're going to start working on the problem then. So it shows that they're not really practical in how they're spending the money.
Yeah, well, what they do is they fund first the things they know we would not vote for. And then when people get fed up with crime and with crazy people running around on the streets and parks that are filled with homeless, then they say, oh, you want to take care of that problem? Raise your property taxes. It is such a despicable way to budget and to, manage government.
Yeah, so we're familiar with this tactic. I mean, Washington Policy Center is an independent research organization, so we're not sucked into the politics of these ballot measures and taxes. And so what we're able to step back and see that the tactic is to hold the public hostage. If you want public safety, if you want parks, if you want good schools, you're going to have to vote for this special levy. The elected leaders never tell you what they're doing with the regular property taxes that we're all paying. So right. there's a base tax. We have to pay that. And then there are important services that are added on top. So that's why we say, they should stop asking for additional taxes and threatening the public and instead wisely spend the money that we're providing already.
The other tactic that I've been talking about a lot, Paul, is we do have politicians who create these problems. Bruce Harrell, when he was on the city council, he said he wanted to decriminalize violence, which is one of the most bizarre things I've ever heard. Well, lo and behold, what happens? Well, violence increases. Then he stands up and says, I am proposing a special levy so that we can work to reduce crime. So they create problems, and then they tell us they need to raise our taxes to solve the problems they've created. That seems to be another particular tactic of how things are run around here.
Yeah, so this is like, the captain of the Titanic blaming the iceberg for what happened to his ship. So what public officials are doing above all is to avoid accountability. They act as if there are these vast forces out there that they can't control. These problems just come up. They treat, again, public safety and homelessness, they treat it like the weather, something that they can't control, they're not responsible for, and then they call for billions of dollars to help deal with that problem. But we notice that the only thing that they respond to is when the public holds them accountable. Either an ineffective mayor like Mayor Durkan is thrown out of office here. You know, she failed to get her reelection. That causes the Seattle establishment to pay attention. And the other thing is when a levy, on the rare occasion that it's voted down. Sometimes local voters say, we don't want an extra tax. And then that also gets the attention of people in elected office. So it's really all about accountability from the public is when there's kind of a wake-up call for people who are in power.
Well, and that's my message. And, you know, to further your analogy, my fear is that the band will just play on and that the that the voters are going to say, well, I'm sick of crime, I'm sick of the people saving on my outside my apartment, I'll vote yes. My message is always they have plenty of money. They just need to prioritize it dramatically better than what they're doing now.
Right. And in preparation for this interview, I just did a quick check on the latest numbers from King County, and they have a $12 billion budget right now. Yeah. In a county of about 2.2 million people.
But we have to raise our property taxes. Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, exactly.
Just crazy. Well, that's great information, Paul. It's always good talk with you, and I love getting this information out to my listeners because we got to take a stand at some point because there are a lot of families that just can't afford this in this economy.
That's right. We'll see if common sense prevails here as this moves forward.
And check out all the great work that Paul and his colleagues do, WashingtonPolicy.org. Paul Guppy, good talk with you.
Great. Thanks a lot for having me.
You got it. Paul Guppy, Washington Policy Center. So let me just break that down a little bit more here, because he said King County has a budget of $12 billion for a population of 2.2 million. That is $5,454 for every man, woman, and child. If you are part of a couple and you have two kids, your share, just for King County, would be about $22,000 for that two-year budget cycle. So this is what I'm begging you. I'm in a really, you know, I've got a great job, and these tax hikes, I can handle it. But the families on fixed income, the seniors on fixed incomes, the working class, people who are having trouble making ends meet, working paycheck to paycheck, they cannot handle this. And if you live in an apartment, these property tax increases are passed on through your rent. And it is time to say no. Say no to every tax increase. Make them spend the money they have, the $8 billion in Seattle, $12 billion in King County, $60 billion at the state of Washington. Make them take care of the crime problem first. Make them take care of cleaning up the homelessness problem first. Make them take care of the mental health problem first with the money they have. And then if they want to, like I said earlier, if they want to come to us and say, hey, we want to hire 30 new diversity, equity, and inclusion managers at $120,000 each, will you raise your property taxes for that? Then, okay, yeah, let us vote on that. But no, no, no. They pay for that stuff first, and then they say, yeah, you want to clean up the crime? Want to clean up the crazies? Want to clean up the homeless? Raise your taxes. Raise your taxes. Raise your taxes. Say no to everything. They have plenty, plenty of our money. And families cannot afford this now. Every state in the country is cutting taxes except for Washington. That is amazing. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Okay, we're getting a lot of conversation from what we talked about, these firefighters who are not getting rehired. And it might be for reasons like I just discussed a second ago. It's pretty shocking stuff. Talk about that and more on the money grab. Lots more to come as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Heard how much money they want to spend, the insidious game they play to get more of our money. They create the problem. Dow Constein has played a huge role in the problems that we have, the crime, the legalization of drugs, the homelessness. Dow Constein has been running this county for many, 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 many years. And as I said, they get $12 billion per budget cycle from us. Why would more money help when we've given him so much money over the years to run the county right? And he doesn't. He has been a failure. But he is a Democrat. And so he has political office for life. And he aspires to be the governor, of course. That's his dream. But he's been the county executive for 13 years. Do you think maybe he could have cleaned up this problem before now? But he talks about how we just have to give him more and more. Come on.
To improve public safety, to free up scarce emergency room beds, to get people out of homelessness, we must invest in behavioral health. These challenges are distinct from one another, but they are interconnected.
And Jay Inslee's budget just had $12 billion for social and health services. And they keep saying, oh, give us more, give us more. Well, it'll get better if you give us more. They get an insane amount of money in King County. And as I said, Dow Constein has been the executive for 13 years. And the more money we give him, the worse the problem gets. And so now all of a sudden, but just give me a little more now. And it'll help.
Inaction is not an option. We're losing facilities and workforce at the exact moment that mental health and substance use disorder crises are growing.
Oh, yeah, we're losing workforce, too. Wonder how we lost so many workers. Oh, yeah, the vaccine mandate that you proposed. But here's what's really happening here. And this is a concerted effort, and this is something I have not talked about earlier today, but this is what's really happening. So why do you think, just in the course of 1 week, last week Bruce Harrell said he wants a levy so he can do something about crime. Well, Bruce Harrell's been on the city council forever. He encouraged crime, but now he wants a levy. And then they announced last week they want a levy at King County so they can clean up the parks. And now yesterday, Dow Constein says he wants another levy so they can do something about mental health. Why do you think we got three of these proposals in 1 week's time? Why do you think they're saying, hey, let's jack up your property taxes another $500, $600, $700 to pay for all of these things? Because this is a collusive effort for what is the holy grail for Democrats. They want a state income tax. They want an unconstitutional state income tax. And they think if they shock us, if they flood us with criminals, flood us with homeless, and flood us with the mentally ill, which every policy they've been doing for the last 20 years has been encouraging all of those things, then they can, in 1 week, say, give us a levy, raise your property, raise your property, raise your property. And people will say, I can't afford it. I mean, literally, if you're a working class family, if you're a paycheck to paycheck family, you can't afford that. But this is all designed toward one end goal.
We welcome the state legislature to change and reform the state's tax system. It would be better if we did not have to rely on a narrow base of taxes in order to provide what are unarguably essential services.
Okay. If they're essential services, you should pay for that before you pay for all the other crap that you do. But that's what this is all about. They manufacture all these problems. Then they manufacture press conference after presser in a one-week period saying, let's raise your property taxes. And it's all because everything they do is designed at getting an income tax. Because why? Well, once they get the income tax, then they can jack that up. And you know what the state constitution says? Nobody's exempt. If you can tax the richest person in the state at 5%, then you got to tax the poorest person in the state at 5%. So if you're making $50,000 a year, 5% of that's $2,500. Can you afford that? Can you afford that right off the top? Somebody making $50,000 to just give them $2,500 more in income tax? Of course not. But that's what they're trying to do. You know, I spell out the numbers for you because this will cost everybody a fortune if they ever get a state income tax. Now, thankfully, that's the one tax the voters have said no to. It's the one tax. Nine times state income tax has gone before the voters, and nine times the voters have resoundingly said no because they know when I was a kid, the sales tax was like 4%. Now it's way over 10%. Every time they get a tax, they treat it like a new toy, and they just keep jacking it up and jacking it up and jacking it up. So I just want to make sure you understand what's going on here, that this is all their creation. They have plenty of money. The first thing they should do is fund cleaning up the crime and the mental health problem in the homeless parks, in the parks. And then they can use what's left over to pay for all their frivolous little social policies. But it's not the way the game is played when you're Jay Inslee and Dow Constein and Bruce Harrell. They've got this thing down to a science. And they're hoping nobody will notice. Well, sorry, guys. I noticed. And my listeners are noticing. And we don't like the game you're playing with these family budgets, people who are hurting, desperately hurting economically with your president's inflation. Shameless. It's just so shameless. Okay, I'm going to take a quick time out here, and then we will count it. We've got a really good batch of our awesome audio. That is coming up next as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. And we still have more to do. Let's count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Joe Biden, he, you know, a few months ago, he said, you want to measure how great I am as president? Just look at this measuring stick.
The stock market, the last guy's measure of everything, is about 20% higher than it was when my predecessor was there. It has hit record after record after record on my watch.
Oh, that was a few months ago. Now?
The markets are set to open after an absolutely brutal week on Wall Street. Stocks now down $7.6 trillion since President Biden took office.
So I guess Joe said we could measure him by that stock market. Okay, we will. And then he said this.
Not a joke. How in God's name do you look at that child knowing you can't afford it, you know the insurance, you have no way of getting it? How do you go undergo that?
Have you heard that joke, by the way, where the guy looks in the child's eyes and says they'll never have health care? And well, I won't finish the joke. But, wait a second.
Not a joke.
Oh, I guess Joe was telling a different story there. I thought it was the old joke about that. Let's see. Oh, but they have their eyes focused on what's really important to Americans. They had the world champion Atlanta Braves to the White House yesterday. And while we have millions of illegal aliens coming across the border and record inflation and record crime in Democrat cities.
I'm wondering if you or the president has any thoughts about some of the controversial about the team name, the Braves name, the so-called Tomahawk Shop. Any thoughts on that?
So look, we believe that it's important to have this conversation. And Native American and Indigenous voices, they should be at the center of this conversation.
Yes. Stay focused on the issues that really matter. That's what they're doing. And then you have Amy Klobuchar. She ran for president, when Jay Inslee ran. And she has some good advice as to why everybody should vote Democrat in the midterms.
We just did something about climate change for the first time in decades. That's why we've got to win this as that hurricane bears down on Florida. We got to win in the midterms.
Yes, the Democrats will stop the hurricane. Wait a second. The Democrats have the House, they have the Senate, and they have a White House. And they didn't stop the hurricane. Wait a second. Why should we vote for them in the midterms if they didn't stop this hurricane? What's the matter with them? She's lying that they'll stop hurricanes. If they could, they would have. I don't like that at all. Do you, Kamala?
But it is significant that we are here together in Tokyo. In that we also share a common goal and bond as it relates to our dedication to peace and security in the Indo-Pacific, and the work that we will continue to do to ensure that we are guided by what we are joined in terms of international rules and norms around the importance of peace, security, and prosperity for the Indo-Pacific.
Here's some more. But while she's over in Asia, she's going to the DMZ. And a bunch of listeners were asking me, why can she not go to the U.S.-Mexico border, but she can go to the DMZ when she's over in Asia? It's a good question. But come on, let's go to work. Let's work, work, work.
Today, the business of our work is for the council to report on the work that has occurred since our last meeting across these areas. We will today also discuss the work yet ahead, the work we must still do to continue to move forward.
Yeah, move forward, always spinning to the future. I got to get out of here. John Curley and Sherry Ellicott's show is coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. And I will see you back here tomorrow, high noon. And
you're a terrible interviewer.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.
Today on Cairo News Radio.
Air quality can